This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Sprinted down the floor and he beat Van Vliet to the spot. And the Rockets call time again. 68-58. Down 7 at the break. And in 4 minutes and 39 seconds, they've outscored the Rockets 18-1. This is playoff basketball.
Dub Nation, it's the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Joe Spadoni and Joe Shafsky on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, heck yes.
Where's Jan at? She's fired up after that win, right? Tim Roy on the call right here on 95.7 The Game. Final segment before handing it off to Steiny and Guru. Speak now, forever hold your peace.
The number
on this
one
game.
Stunna?
Let's go. Stunna Man?
No, that's this song.
Oh, okay.
Big timers.
Not Stone Cold Stunna?
They would be in the parking lot where it was a little wet, and they got the doors open, and it's the number one
Stunna. Oh, it's Big Timers. Still Fly, right? That's them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Hood Rich. Same album, different
Hood Rich. Get Your Roll On.
Manny Fresh.
Okay, let's go. I know. There we go. I love the beats have been on fire today. By the way, shout out Sam Lubin holding it down in the back. And shout out Sam Lubin and Joe Shasky, because you can find them on the Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys podcast. That's right. We got the Warriors. We got the Kittle contract. We had the draft. The Giants are balling right now, folks. And you want to listen to Giants talk? Well, the best Giants talk in the world is with those guys and occasionally Steven Rizzotto. Subscribe now, because this week they'll be talking about how the Giants, owners of the second best record in baseball, have not even begun to play their best baseball yet. Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys, check that out. Giants taking on the Padres tonight in San Diego. Can't wait for that pitching matchup between Nick Pivetta and Logan Webb. In the meantime, we're doing game balls. I gave my game ball out today for the Warriors in yesterday's win. Mine was to Jimmy Butler. Yours was Brandon Pajemski. Sam Lubman, who's your game ball going to? I didn't even ask Sam. Slamming Sam Lubman. Who's your game ball going to?
I think I might give my game ball to Draymond Green today, especially just for that defense he played down the stretch, forcing that Şengün miss at the end. Like, that's, we've been saying for the last few years, just dealing with all of Draymond Green's off-court nonsense and the frustration that comes with it. Shasky, you've traded him a couple million times. Like, but all that nonsense that we deal with him, the reason we put up with it is because of games last night. Like, the defense he played, especially down the stretch, in foul trouble, being able to defend without fouling in that situation when he knows the Rockets are going at him like that. Like, that was the kind of Draymond Green performance in the playoffs that we love to see.
With five fouls.
Like I said, in foul trouble.
Absolutely incredible.
How different would today's show be if Şengün hits that little, like, turnaround flip shot?
It would have been the reverse. It's kind of what Bobby in Los Altos was saying. Had they lost this game, you're crushing Draymond.
Crushing everybody.
You're crushing Draymond, too. crushing everyone. I'm actually not crushing Jimmy Butler in that game if they had lost.
Or Brandon Pajemski. I'd be way more worried about finding a way to win this series because of how, injured Butler looks.
We're crushing everyone, and then there's also the panic around Jimmy's health, on top of that. Alternate universe.
Keeping it a buck. Not that we're going to crush the guy, but we're saying, hey, Steph. Four turnovers, bro.
Well, that running floater.
Right.
You know, I thought that was going to be, go up three and we're going to win this game.
Real quick, how'd you feel about that? There was like a 12 or 13 second differential between the shot clock and Gamecock.
Had no problem with it.
Just
a good shot.
Okay.
I think we obsess over getting the 2-for-1. And on the front end, we take a poor shot. Get a 2-for-1.
I was saying more milk the clock there. So that, they're probably...
To get a bucket in the half court against that team, I'm going to get Steph a one-on-one look on a runner that typically he hits after getting an ISO Jimmy play preceding that. Fair right? Enough. So Jimmy got his look. It didn't go down. I'm going to give it to Steph. Steph's got his look. He's on the move. He gets a good look close to the hoop. I'm not mad at that.
Okay.
I hear you. Yep. My bigger issue is I think that sometimes when you get a little too premeditated on either milking the clock, to too much or...
Well, Steph in particular, real quick, like, he has a tendency to not milk the clock a lot. That's why I brought it up. He has a tendency to just chuck it up. I was like, situationally. But in that situation, I think it was fine either way. Continue.
Because, if he gets the bucket, we're not having this conversation. Correct. But also, they were settling for bad shots.
Yeah.
Right? And so if you can get a good look, you have to take the good look. They airballed three threes in the fourth quarter. Yeah. Post, Steph, and Dre.
I know.
So we were searching for offense. Buddy missed a shot, and it was like, Buddy, do not take another shot the rest of this game, as great as you've been. Butler gets the ball on the wing, and we're like, all right, he can shoot it. Like, let's get the ball to Butler. Let's see him shoot. He missed a shot that I thought he was going to make, a little turnaround. So, no, I wasn't mad at it, and I didn't think that they wasted too little time or not enough time. No, I thought it was just right.
Dave in Fremont wants to join the conversation. He has a game ball to give out, 888-957-9570. Dave, good morning. Who are you giving your game ball to for today?
Good morning, fellas. Good morning, fellas. Yeah, hey, you mentioned that Draymond Green was playing with five fouls when he stopped saying, I mean, that just makes what he did even more incredible. But real quick, my game ball is going to go to Steve Kerr. I felt that his decision to start hacking Steven Adams and sending him to the line when he was just crushing us on the boards was a game changer. Kind of changed everything for us. So that's who my game ball is going to go to. And big ups to Buddy Hield for starting to finally make some shots. You guys have a good day, all right?
I love that laugh. That's David Fremont. He almost sounded like Gronk there. there you go. He's giving his to Steve.
SpongeBob laugh.
A little bit. That was some SpongeBob Gronk. I don't know what that was. If we can isolate that, please. Again, I say it. I'll keep repeating it. I don't care if I sound like a broken record. The guy has lost a Western Conference series one time. He's won four titles. If there's another head coach you're taking in these playoffs over him, I'd love to hear it. 888-957-9570. I'm taking Steve Kerr over every other coach remaining. It's not even close.
So let's think about this, right? Ime Udoka's number one tactic is intimidation.
Like for the players or for himself?
Himself,
okay.
His team, the players that he's coaching, their whole entire identity is intimidation. And athleticism.
I don't know if it's intimidation as far like physicality for sure.
If brooding was a picture in the dictionary, it'd be a photo of him.
Okay, he's intimidating. I don't think like the team itself is intimidating.
He demands that his team plays that way.
Physical brand of basketball, sure. I think we're just parsing words here, but that's fine. Continue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Steve Kerr in this game made adjustments to his starting lineups. Okay, that's called tinkering. That's called going with, try to open up the floor. He goes with Buddy, and Buddy rewarded him. And you got wide open looks from Draymond Green early in the game. All right, check. You scored 20 in the first quarter for the first time all series. That's adjustments from a coach.
Got a 12-point lead in the first quarter, too. Anticipated very quickly.
Let's go to the rest of the game. Obviously, Quentin Post gets to play a lot in the first half. Looks good. Mm-hmm. Shooting from beyond the arc. There was a point in time in the series, I don't know if Quentin Post can play, right? But he stuck with him, and he rewarded him. Podziemski, who has had two kind of subpar games back-to-back, bounced back in a big way. He stuck with him. He kind of iced out Moses Moody in that first half.
Mm-hmm.
That was the right call. Yep. Like, that was the right call. So these are the adjustments, okay? At the end of the second quarter, they had how many turnovers in a row?
God, it was like four, right? Are you talking about the Rockets? Or are you talking about the
Warriors? Must have turned the ball over.
Well, Steph had four of them.
They were like, awful.
And the half court, too, and it led to easy buckets, it felt like, every single time for the Rockets.
It was awful. They start the third quarter, and it was like, we are going to secure the ball. We're getting the ball to Jimmy, and we're going to be more methodical, and we're going to not be so careless, okay? So there's no doubt about it. That on point as adjustments, he goes to TJD. They're searching for someone with Draymond and five fouls, okay? He's got to go to the bench. Şengün's killing us. I look down my bench. I got to try something else. Looney's having a tough time. Butler can't guard him. Like, we're trying these different things. It's not working. Let's go to TJD. I credit him for doing that. He had a post-TJD lineup. I had suggested that at some point. Yeah. Let's just see what it looks like. That really wasn't working either. He immediately hit the eject button. You know, he looked down at the bench and said, let me go to Moses Moody. Let me see if Moses Moody can give me something.
Mm.
He was trying hard, but but they didn't get anything out of that. See, these are the little tinkerings and adjustments throughout the entire game. We're going to throw zones, 1-3-1, 2-3. We're going to double. We're going to not double. We're going to stay off this guy. Let's make Fred VanVleet put the ball on the floor. He even, like, said it to Pajemski in the mic'd up thing. And boom, finally they make him do it, and he has a turnover, right? These are the coaching adjustments that I love from Steve Kerr in this situation. And I thought he had multiple inbound plays that were brilliant. They had a key timeout to give Steph a rest, even though it's not a, you know, a him sitting in the game. It's let me buy him 6 minutes of real time sit down as opposed to 6 minutes of game time sit down flow. So Steve Kerr was in his bag in this one. And then situationally late, the most important thing he did, subbing offense for defense 3 different times. Steve Kerr ran circles around Ime Udoka in this game.
And I want to hear from the head coach right now, 888-957-9570. We can discuss the coaching job that Steve Kerr did yesterday. Let's give him his flowers. Steve Kerr on what they got from Brandon Pajemski and Jimmy Butler.
Both guys were amazing. Brandon's big time, you know, second year player, but plays like a 10th year guy. I mean, he's just got so much poise and confidence, and he was obviously a key to everything. And then Jimmy getting to the line 12 times really carried us, especially in that fourth quarter. You know, it was just an incredible performance by our guys against a great team that, you know, gave us everything we could handle tonight. So it's a big time win.
It's a huge win.
Yeah. It's huge. I mean, Brandon Pajemski, second-year player, stepping up. Jimmy Butler, who was a Miami Heat 4 months ago. Like, it's kind of insane if you take a step back. Everything that took place in this game and in this series and just all of it baked into it. Because you alluded to it a couple months ago. If I would have told you that Jimmy Butler was the best player in a playoff win to go up 3-1 against the Houston Rockets, yeah, it all sounds insane. But it's all working right now, and he's riding the hot hand. The Buddy Hield contribution, putting him in the starting lineup, that was a big move.
Did you like the hack of Adams?
I do. I like that.
He was destroying them.
That's an old school move, but that's a guy that's been around as a player and a coach for a very long time. Again, there is something to be said about him, like this 90s styles basketball, and then him talking about it. Him being a player through that, like there's a prism there. Like he's played in these kind of series before, so he knows the given adjustments. Albeit he's played with the greatest player in the history of the sport, and Scottie Pippen, who's also one of the greatest players in the sport, greatest head coach maybe ever too. That helps. But that being said, he's seen all those other teams and try to combat what the Bulls did or what the Spurs did. Like that 90s, early 2000s style. Steve Kerr is a perfect guy to be a coach for that. Because he's gone through it as a player. So now you're not going to see that if you take care of business this first round. You're not going to see that kind of play against the T-Wolves or the Nuggets, Clippers, OKC, whoever you end up playing and moving on. If you do move on in this first round, it's going to be different. And I thought what he's been able to do X's and O's wise throughout this series has been huge. And again, this series has been a lot more even than it's given credit to, I think. 3-1. You might look at it and say, wow, the Warriors have been dominating. No. Neither team's been dominating this series. It's been very, very even. Are you actually kind of surprised it's been this even?
No.
And there's been no blowouts?
It's come down to situational basketball. And who has not only the cojones to make big plays, but the intelligence to make the right plays in the right situations. And I feel like the Warriors, look, Belichick had a line, and I live by this. Stupid loses more games than smart wins. And there are times where I felt like the Houston Rockets have done stupid things. Think the Tari Eason foul on Jimmy Butler.
Oh my God.
On the inbound play. And Ime Udoka's losing his mind on Tari. And Tari's like putting his hands up.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Shangoon. Yep. Like that play where Steph Curry just says, and then Reggie's like, it's not even a good pump thing. There's 2 seconds left of the shot clock. But he's right. Like, you're 7 feet tall. Don't leave your feet. Like, that is something, that is a principle that you teach kids growing up playing, you know, youth basketball. Don't leave your feet when you're the bigger player and you're going to contest a shot.
Right.
These are all little things. And when you don't have the accumulated track record of playing in these big stakes games, you do dumb things. How many bad turnovers from Jalen Green just in the series alone?
Oh, my God.
And what I mean by yesterday, not just the turnover pass, a shot that's a turnover. It's a bad turnover.
I mean, 1 of 5. Again, Adam Wexler, who joined us last week, a pre and post radio coverage for the Houston Rockets, saying this series is going to go as Jalen Green goes. And that's how it went. All the losses for the Rockets, Jalen Green didn't have a good game. Their only win, how many did you score? 30 plus. There you go. And again, you can't rely on a player like that in the starting lineup. You just can't do it. But I can rely on Jimmy Butler. I know that. Steve Kerr, though, this was interesting. After the game, talking about the health and the status of Jimmy Butler, he was saying if this was the regular season, he might be out a couple weeks.
We had to have him. I mean, if this were the regular season, he'd probably miss another week or two. But it's the playoffs, and he's Jimmy Butler. So this is what he does. The rebound at the end was just incredible. The elevation, the force, and, of course, knocking down the free throws to clinch it. Jimmy was amazing.
Did you ever envision the Steve Kerr and the Jimmy Butler dynamic to be like this good?
It's because the Jimmy legend is growing by the day.
Because we've seen in the past, I mean, there was some more wear and tear and stuff built into the relationship, but Eric Spoelstra and Jimmy Butler, not quite see eye to eye at times. They were going at it during games. I think Eric Spoelstra, the personality, very different from Steve Kerr, the personality. I'd describe Eric Spoelstra as very intense in comparison to Steve Kerr. I think Steve Kerr is a player's coach for sure. But there's a respect factor there that I don't sleep on when it comes to Jimmy Butler and Steve Kerr. They respect each other's greatness at the end of the day. And Jimmy Butler, I think, gravitates towards certain coaches in a way like, who's the head coach at the time? Was it Doc Rivers for the Sixers when he was there a couple years ago, Joel Embiid?
Yes.
That was the head coach. Didn't really work out. Or was it the other guy, the beard, Brown? Not Bruce Brown. It was someone else. That's a player. I can't think of his name right now. But like Tom Thibodeau, whether it's the Chicago Bulls or Minnesota Timberwolves, I think Jimmy actually respected Tom Thibodeau because he respected elite like physicality and defensive prowess. And that's what Tom Thibodeau tried to instill in his team every single practice. He tried to get the best out of his players. He respects the greatness of Steve Kerr is what I'm getting at here. And I think Steve Kerr has a tremendous amount of trust in Jimmy Butler. And I'm not going to sleep on the fact that it's only been a couple of months and he's been able to garner that much trust from his head coach. And we know about trust when it comes to Steve Kerr and the young guys.
Yeah, he either has it or he doesn't with you. It's pretty simple.
And he has all the faith in the world in Jimmy Butler, and why shouldn't he, right?
I mean, he has all the reason to believe. Do you get this, like, not mythical is not the word, but like when I think of Jimmy Butler and just the way people talk about like playoff Jimmy, like it's a thing. There's like a MacGyver like quality, like a right. Chuck Norris like quality.
Thank you. Yes, Brett Brown was the guy I was thinking of. Sorry, Brett Brown. Yeah, for
you know,
sure.
You know, like when you bring up
Paul
Chuck
Bunyan,
Norris,
Paul Bunyan.
Yeah. But like all those jokes that you get on Chuck Norris,
right?
You know, like time waits for no man unless it's Chuck Norris.
Exactly.
Those
types
of means. That's what I feel about Jimmy Butler now.
The only thing
I'm a believer. I'm a believer in the whole Jimmy Butler experience.
Shout out the monkeys. What is it? The only thing under Chuck Norris's beard is another fist. There you go. Like that's
what I'm talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly.
When God said, let there be light, Chuck Norris said, say please first.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
That's Jimmy Butler. That's insert Jimmy Butler. The name Jimmy Butler instead of Chuck Norris.
When Chuck Norris jumps in the water, he doesn't get wet. The water gets Chuck Norris.
That's what I'm saying.
That's pretty good.
When Jimmy was staring into the soul of Dylan Brooks and he was like, you a bum. You're weak. I was like, oh my God, I love him so much.
When Chuck Norris looks in a mirror, the mirror shatters because not even glass is dumb enough to get in between Chuck Norris and Chuck Norris.
So, okay.
I don't like Dylan Brooks.
I want you to read some of these, but insert Jimmy Butler into there.
Okay. Let me hear. I got the best. 102. Wow, that's a lot of Chuck Norris jokes. Let's do Jimmy Butler jokes. Jack was nimble. Jack was quick. But Jack still couldn't dodge Jimmy Butler's roundhouse kick. How about that?
I mean, that's
pretty good.
That actually should have been Draymond.
Reasons.
I'll take this up a notch. About Superman wears Chuck Norris pajamas, but Chuck Norris wears Jimmy Butler pajamas.
Oh,
now that is good.
That's next
that
level. That's
good.
Not bad.
That is
a lot
good.
Of these are roundhouse kicks. I was like, no, that's Draymond.
Jimmy Butler can count to infinity.
Oh, Jimmy Butler uses pepper spray to season his meat. That's not bad. Jimmy Butler plays Jenga with Stonehenge. Jimmy Butler is able to slam a revolving door. That's a good one. The revolving door one's a good. That's not bad.
I mean, look,
888-957-9570 on the Boxer and Gerson Working G Attorney's text line. Give us your best Jimmy Butler a la Chuck Norris. There you go. Do that.
The guy, the fact that he could pull that off last night, given like that layup he hit over two guys with the left hand in traffic, given the situation, given where his, you know, his glutes are, It's just incredible. He had all the free throws that were needed, and the timing and the instincts on the rebound at the end of the game was just next level.
Jimmy Butler can dribble a bowling ball. How about that one? I kind of love that one. Actually, that's perfect for him. He doesn't want the whole playoff Jimmy myth though. That he lets the media do that.
That's what Superman do. That's what the real, you know, comic heroes do.
That's what real heroes do.
Exactly.
We're not gonna do this. That's just part of the game. Now, you know, your body starts to warm up. You start to move a little bit better. You gain confidence. People start talking to you. And then, oh, good things happen.
It's like when Superman's getting asked by the general at the end, you know, how can I trust you? You're from another world. It's like, dude, general, I grew up in Kansas. It's literally Jimmy Butler right there.
When Jimmy Butler lifts weights, the weights get in shape. That's not bad. That's not bad. That's pretty good. It's pretty good.
RJing on the YouTube chat. Playoff Jimmy eats nails for breakfast.
Oh, that's a sponge.
Without any milk.
That's a good one. That's a SpongeBob reference, Sammy. I don't know if Joe wasn't a SpongeBob guy. That's our generation.
He's way too old.
He's way too old for that. He's more of a Ren and Stimpy guy, I want to say. There you go.
My brother was more Ren and Stimpy.
Okay, that's not bad. Jimmy Butler makes onions cry. Okay, not bad. I was crying ad nauseum yesterday. I was dying on the court.
He told Draymond, apparently, before the possession at the end, you get the stop, I'll get the rebound.
It's pretty sick.
That's the stuff of like Hunter Pence legend, where he's spitting the seeds, talking about be legendary. Like, if you go on to do something special, we're going to point back to that particular conversation. Because that was a moment in time.
Draymond Green had some poignant thoughts on Jimmy's presence and like the commitment of the ownership group that made to him, Steph, and Steve. I want to listen to some of this stuff. It's really good sound. This is Draymond talking about it all. Jimmy, the ownership group, the commitment to everyone, Steve, Steph, Draymond, like the timeline, keeping it straight, all of that. Draymond Green on Jimmy's presence and the commitment from the ownership.
Well, his presence, number one, is huge. You know, I've spoke about it over and over again, just the commitment that our ownership group and front office made to Jimmy, but not only to Jimmy, to Steph and I and Steve. You know, we've been here for many years and still feeling like we have a chance, but not quite there and need a little boost. And our ownership group made a two-year, $120 million commitment for us to get that boost. And what he's meant since he's been here. Like, tonight was great. He played through the injury. It was beautiful. But it's just his presence. What his presence does for this team is humongous. The first three quarters, he couldn't move. Not sure how he started moving in the fourth quarter. But first three quarters, he couldn't move. And yet, he never complained. He stuck with it. And I think when it was most important, when the time was right, everybody on our side looked to get him the ball. And when you get him the ball, he made great things happen for himself or for others. You know, it was huge. I think my favorite play was the last rebound. I looked up, I thought it was Kuminga out there flying. It was Jimmy. That was my favorite play of all of them that he made.
It wasn't Air Congo. It was Air Jimmy Buckets. And
with,
Jimmy Butler,
with a bum Jim, butt.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler does not get frostbite, by the way. Jimmy Butler bites frost. So there you go.
The guy was unbelievable. Mm. And I don't want it to be forgotten that I thought Quentin Post just... Forget the stats. Seeing him get into the mix was awesome. It's like, dude, that is how you, as a big man, protecting the smaller guys, like that is important. There's an element of that. And to have other people besides Draymond get in the middle and be a tough guy, it is important on this team. There's a false moniker of softness with this squad. So I loved every bit from the young player.
I think Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green eliminate that. If anyone thinks this team's soft defensively or offensively at this point, you can't be a soft team with Jimmy Butler and Draymond as two of your starters. You just can't be.
No.
I'm sorry. If people are still saying that, I haven't heard it. If they are, they're idiots. That's all I can say.
And Looney's not soft,
no,
right?
No, of course not.
He's also not the type that's going to like throw an elbow.
Is Gary Payton the second soft?
No.
No.
But he's also another guy. He's not going to throw an elbow.
No, of course. Well, no. Like, he's not going to do that. But he'll give you a hard foul. He'll give you a hard foul. He did, I think, yesterday he did that. Like, Moses Moody will give you a hard foul. He's not going to back down. His shot's not there. But you know what? Guy Santos, he tries very hard. He's the lunch pail guy. He's going to go out there. He's going to have 110%. Shout out Brendan Fraser in Bedazzled.
But the soft moniker always bugs me.
It's
Curry is the farthest thing from soft.
That's weak. I don't think anyone can say that anymore, especially giving up against and going up against this Rockets team who's anything but soft. I think the Warriors are showing who the better defensive team is, too. At the end of the day, their players are making more plays defensively than the Houston Rockets. Now, albeit the Houston Rockets offense is not exactly spectacular. I'm not going to confuse it for the 2017-18 Golden State Warriors. But again, credit to them mucking it up and playing their style and the Warriors adapting and winning and beating them with their own style.
I actually thought their offense was a lot better than it had been in the games prior. You had the inside-out game of Şengün getting anything he wanted in the lane. Amen Thompson getting downhill, deep into the lane, deep into the paint. Fred VanVleet, they had multiple kick-out opportunities and some wide-open threes. I think that they were cooking in this one, and so it was a great win because situationally the Warriors got the stops they needed.
Well, it was definitely both were cooking because it's the first time all series where both teams have scored over 100 points, which is a rarity today. And I'm laughing because that doesn't happen anymore. It's a throwback series, and it's honestly been refreshing for me, for a guy, and you grew up watching this brand of basketball. I think for a lot of Warriors fans, the brand of basketball they're used to is the high flyers, the three-point shot, you know, making like a 120, 125. Like, over 100 points is the bare minimum for a lot of Warriors fans. So them having to adjust their mindset and frame of mind watching the series, it's been interesting. But it's been refreshing for me watching two styles blend beautifully. Because at times, you got to go ISO ball. And Jimmy's been able to do that. And at times, he's even chucking up threes. And Dylan Brooks doing stupid fouls when he's chucking up threes. Like yesterday.
Did you think that was a foul? Hand on the hip.
By the letter of the law, it was. I thought it was, given what was called in that game, it felt kind of weak, but at the same time, by the letter of the law, it's a foul. You got to call it. And why was he even doing that?
I don't know.
Just hands up.
It was unnecessary.
Hands up. Jimmy Butler's not a three-point shooter. Dylan Brooks, what are you doing?
Close out, hands up, feet on the ground.
Yes.
You know?
Dumb.
This is stupid.
I don't understand
what he was doing there.
I don't like Dylan Brooks.
That's all I know, though. That's a lot of people. That's how Warriors fans are feeling today.
I don't like Dylan Brooks.
But he might have been the Warriors' best player because he unlocked Jimmy Butler, and he talked about that yesterday.
Well, in a game that we didn't know if you'd play or not, you played nearly 40 minutes. I mean, how did you get through it physically and mentally?
Oh, man. Somebody saying something to me. That's all it takes. Somebody to say something to me gets me going every single time.
I take it you won't share it with me.
No. Y'all, that mic's underneath the goal. You can hear it.
Oh, he doubled down after the game talking to the media.
No, we're not having fun. Give me a break for this. I don't like Dylan Brooks, so we're never having fun. I'm a fierce competitor. He's a fierce competitor. There ain't nothing fun about that.
If you're running the league and you saw that first round, the game, the blowout with the Heat and the Cleveland Cavs, you had to be thrilled that Warrior-Rocket game went the way it did.
Let's keep it a buck. The Eastern Conference playoffs stink.
Some of the games have been all right. The Knicks game the other day was fun.
Thanks. You just explained it. Some of the games have been all right.
Sets have been fun.
They're up 3-1.
I know, but the games have been good.
I know, they've been tight.
I'll
give Orlando credit here. They might lose 4-1 in that series, but they tried. Like, they legitimately tried to put their best effort forward. The Heat didn't even try yesterday. No. They didn't try.
They were probably lucky to get in.
You feel some type of way? You feel bad for Andrew Wiggins at all?
No, he was a great Warrior. I wish him well, and you know that their team's not good enough.
I said, do you feel bad for Andrew Wiggins that he had to be a part of that?
I don't feel bad about him at all.
Okay, fair enough. That's fine. I think some Warriors fans might.
Was I rooting for him to do better? Yeah, sure. But I'm not losing any sleep about Andrew Wiggins getting blown out by 50.
Okay, fair enough. Rick in Castro Valley wants to join in the conversation before we hit Fast 5 coming up here. 888-957-9570. Rick, good morning. What do you want to talk about in that win last night, man?
Yeah, I know you've talked ad nauseum about the triple technical foul call yesterday, but I have a question for you guys that maybe you can help answer. Is, okay, the whistle was blown, Curry's on the floor, what's the Houston guy's name again?
Dylan Brooks or Jabari Smith?
Dylan Brooks.
Yeah.
So I don't understand. So Dylan Brooks makes a move, and when Curry's getting up, he tries to grab the ball from Curry. Mm-hmm. What is the mentality of trying to grab the ball from Curry when it's a dead ball and the whistle's been blown? I don't understand what that mentality is of trying to grab the ball from Curry.
I'll tell you what it is, Rick. It's called gamesmanship. So you do... No, seriously. That's what you do. You try to get under their skin a little bit. So you take the ball.
You need him in the groin.
I consider it the same. No. I hear you. And what instigated that whole thing, obviously, was the penalty right there. The foul, if you will. The knee.
He was... It was a high screen. Van Vliet and Draymond. It was like a football collision.
Correct.
They go down. And then Dylan's going to get crossed over. And if you watch it again... Oh, I've watched it 50 times. Dylan sticks the right knee out and just, I'm going to hit you in the groin. It was a deliberate foul.
And Steph, to his credit, which again, going back to gamesmanship, was doing a little taunting. He did two.
Since when is that taunting?
Well, when you look at someone and do that, that's two personal fouls. Because he did it earlier in the game when he put up the one. And I'm sure the ref saw it then. So I'm just letting you know.
This is the NBA where guys are making $50 million a year. This is not third grade St. Peter and Paul versus St. Gabe's.
You asked,
what are we doing?
You asked me and I told you. I'm telling you, it's still ridiculous.
That's what I'm saying. It's like absurd.
He said two? Like, come on. This is Stephen Curry.
Thank you. It's Stephen Curry.
It's just silly officiating.
It was stupid. We can acknowledge it.
Okay.
Like the Dylan Brooks overturn, meaning the one that they called on Dylan Brooks, the Warriors, it wasn't a foul. Steph fell out of bounds. I thought that was a horrible overturn.
Fair enough.
It should not have been Steph free throw.
Listen. I hear you all. It ended up not mattering in the grand scheme of things because they won the game, but I hear you with the Draymond
It could factor in later on.
Not for Steph. Steph's not getting six
technical fouls.
No, I'm
talking about for Draymond.
Exactly.
Because Draymond got attacked.
Sure. I thought he should have at least had one in that game, and he got one, probably not the one that should have been called, but it was called nonetheless, and they got a flagrant. I did think it was kind of the ref's way of not wanting to eject and like, I don't want to get in trouble or I don't want to have that on my...
It was a makeup call.
It was a makeup call. They called it a flagrant one. And it is funny, like, so you could do a flagrant one and a technical and not get ejected, but if you get two flagrants, you're ejected and two technical. It's kind of like rewriting the rules a little bit there. It's interesting to me, but I hear you. The Steph
Explain
taunting
to me
thing.
How
I get it.
Steph putting a two up, not even in his face, like from here, is taunting, but Ime Udoka walking onto the floor and like, he always shoulders somebody.
Do you think Steph did that to get under Dylan Brooks' skin?
Playoff basketball legacies are on the line.
Do you answer the question? Did Steph do that to get under Dylan Brooks' skin?
I thought that on the level of things I've seen in this
still
series,
not answering the question.
That thing still was, was a nothing
I think
burger.
It goes,
still not answering the
I
question. Did he do
yes.
it to get under his skin?
I think it goes.
No, I think he did
yes.
it. Like,
yes.
Yeah, dude.
Yes.
That's two.
There you go.
So what?
So that they consider that a taunt is what I'm telling you.
But the knee to the groin.
I'm just telling you what they're seeing.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the
whole
thing is insane.
Okay, that's fine. It didn't end up hurting them. They won the game. It's okay. It's all right. And they put a clamp hold on this series.
Crew should not ref another game in the playoffs.
Sam was going to book John Goble for the next, like, tomorrow show.
Not
you want to get him now?
One of the people involved in that game should referee. Both sides deserve to have gripes galore.
Okay. All right.
You should ref the next Lakers-Timberwolves game.
Fast five.
Give me that laugh one more time.
That's so good.
I don't like Dylan Brooks.
What do you got, Joe? You're very angry now. I thought we had a great show.
Honestly, that game was a great game. The officiating zapped the flow of that game over and over. It felt like the Rockets had 7,000 challenges in that game. I don't know what you got to do from a television product. They got to figure out the reviews and the challenges. It's ruining the flow of the game.
Can we get instant reviews here on the Morning Roast? You want to do that as a segment sometimes, the review? Can we do that every show?
I mean, is that like when we just go and like grab a drop of someone saying something?
Correct, but we have to call it like the review time, and it's going to be brought to you by Sam Lubman.
No, that's called the weekly show meeting with Matt and Hegan. That's review time.
That's coming up next in 10 minutes. Matt, don't worry. He's putting up the... Matt comes in here and does the review.
Then it becomes wrap it up at that point.
There you go.
The Warriors got assessed a delay of game because they were waiting for the replay to come up on the big screen.
I remember.
And they got a tech shot. That shows you how ridiculous. Again, there's the spirit of the rule. There's the letter of the law.
Read the room.
We've got to have a little more common sense. If you didn't walk away from that game as a casual observer with no skin in the game thinking, God, officiating has got to be reviewed here and league-wide. Like, I don't know what you're watching.
My takeaway from that game was yesterday, you go up 3-1. They're going to take care of business, whether it's in game 5 or game 6. I believe that. You're going to be going to the second round. And this is why you got Jimmy Butler. Games like this, when Stephen Curry does not have it, Jimmy Butler is there to make it all okay. Even a 75% version of Jimmy Butler might be better than anything the Houston Rockets have when their best player is on. Alperen Şengün was great. Double-double, 31 points, 10 rebounds. And even after all of that, I didn't fear him taking the last shot. Actually, I had fear of Fred VanVleet taking that last shot. I know that he had the heave technically, but you know the play I'm talking about where Draymond Green stopped him. Great effort from Draymond with five fouls, not fouling, and then great rebound from Jimmy Buckets. He gets my game ball. Sam, what you got?
My final thought is I want to give Buddy Hield some due here on the way out because, you know, the earlier in this series, you know, you guys said, you know, you might need 15 points from Buddy Hield in a game. And I shot back. I don't know if you're going to get 15 points from Buddy in this series. And Buddy, thanks for making me look bad on that one. So keep it up, Buddy Hield. Love seeing it. And just keep being good.
That's a four. I'm not mad at that. This show flew by today. We're going to come back tomorrow, do it again, preview game five, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about the George Kittle signing as well, because George Kittle signed a new four-year extension worth up to 76.4 million dollars over 4 years. 19.1 of that is an annual average, so he is the highest paid tight end in the NFL on average, making $19.1 million a year, surpassing Trey McBride. Shout out to Kittle getting his money, and shout out to all of you. That was Fast Five, brought to you by Xfinity. At home or on the go, you get the fastest internet to all your devices. Standing Goo next, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Also, Steve Kerr today at 5 o'clock on Willard and Dibbs.